Well, it's very good to be here with you all this morning. Let me say I was not coerced to be here. I was asked. Ask and you shall receive. And so it's a privilege to be here always to share the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray that, as Paul said to the church at Rome in the opening chapter 1 of his letter to the Romans, he said, I hope when I come to you, I might impart to you a spiritual gift. And I certainly hope that that is what takes place today. I retired from pastoring at the end of December 2021. I had pastored for 41 years, and so I decided that it was a time to step aside and let younger ones take over and come and be with my grandchildren and my daughter and son-in-law who live in Decatur. My daughter Bond is a school teacher at Warrensburg Latham, fifth grade teacher. She's been there about 14, 15 years now. And my son-in-law Andrew works as an engineer for Norfolk Southern. We have three grandchildren. Xander is the oldest. He'll be 14 in December. And then we have two twins would be way too much. They are a handful on their own. But they're a delight. They're 8 years old, just turned eight in September. We have a boy and we have a girl. Aria is the first one out. And the second one was Asher, and they are entertaining, to say the least. So three wonderful grandkids. We also have a son, Ryan, who lives out in California in the Bay Area. San Ramon is where they live, his wife Sheila, and our last grandchild, a boy age four, who is named after my dad, Robert. So he is another Robert Beard on the earth. My middle name is Robert, in case you're curious. And we have a lot of Roberts because Andrew, my son-in-law's middle name is Robert. Xander's middle name is Robert. So my dad is well attested to on the earth with the name Robert continuing on in his grandchildren, his son, and son-in-law. Well, this morning, as I say, I have pastored for about 41 years, and I wanted to share with you a scripture about this day, this very special day in the Jewish calendar. To do so, I'm going to read a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm going to begin on verse 14. And John's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word there could be translated tabernacled. The Word, of course, that's speaking of Jesus, right? And the Word, the Lord Jesus, tabernacled, made his tent among us, and we saw his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten of God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. I like what the Eugene Peterson does in the Message and that last verse. It says not that Jesus has explained or made God a little more clear to us, but he says, Jesus has made God as plain as day. I think that's an interesting take. Well, how many of you have experienced children, kids, and big boxes. Appliance boxes. Big boxes on Christmas morning. Big boxes on their birthdays. Of course, what I'm referring to is the fact that they can do some amazing things with big boxes. In fact, my son-in-law about 3 or 4 years ago even remarked on one Christmas morning after the twins began to perch and plunge into one of the big boxes that they found, and they were making a house out of it, and they were playing with it and everything, and he thought, we sure could have saved a lot of money on toys if we could have just brought in about 3 or 4 big boxes. And there's a lot of truth to that. But I want to talk about a box today, and my title of the message is, What's Inside the Box? What's inside the box? Think about Amazon packages that are so prolific today, that come to every house, it seems, in America and across the world. Children see those boxes, and the first question they've got is, well, I wonder what's inside the box. Is it for me? What's in there, Mom? What's in there, Dad? What's inside the box? Well, today, if you are not aware of it, according to the Jewish calendar, this is the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. And what's interesting about this is the fact that this is the second feast or festival of the seventh month of the Jewish year. Seven, of course, is a very important number in Scripture because on the seventh day, God did what? He rested, didn't he? And said, it's all good. It can't be done any better than what I've just spoke into existence. Everything is very good. And so he rested and admired what he had just accomplished. And so he tells his people to take one day and rest from all your labor, all your work, and just contemplate God and his creation and how he is so good to us and how we appreciate. We've heard thanksgiving here from the pulpit already, appreciation for what God does in each of our lives. Well, as I said, Feast of Atonement is the second feast of the sacred seventh month. The first feast has just been celebrated, again, according to the Jewish calendar, on the 16th. The 16th of September. It's called the Feast of Trumpets. And on the Feast of Trumpets, trumpets were supposed to just blow incessantly. They just continually blow to remind the people God has spoken, God is speaking, and God will ever speak his word of life and his right ways into the lives of his people. Hear the word, the voice of your God during this month and all the days of your life. Of course, as I said, this day is the Day of Atonement. And then next Saturday, the 30th, will be the final feast of the seventh month. It will be the Feast of Tabernacles, or you might have known it as the Feast of Booths. And Israel begins to create little houses out of tree branches, palm branches, and that's where they are supposed to live for about 1 week. It's like going again, kind of going camping with God, but you leave your homes and you begin to camp out in these made booths. But we're going to focus on the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was a culmination of the passage or rite of holiness, very important to the Jewish people, is holiness unto the Lord. So what you had is a rare convergence of that pattern of holiness. Holiness, as you know, means to be set apart for very special sacred use, for God's use. And so you have on this seventh month and on the Day of Atonement a coming together of holiness through three set-apart rituals. And I like to put it as three set-asides. God says we're going to set aside three specific rituals on the Day of Atonement that are going to point to my holy purposes and my holy ways. Number one, you have a high priest. This high priest is the holiest position that anyone can hold in the life of the people of God, the high priest of Israel. So this is the holiest position. On the Day of Atonement, number two, that high priest is going to enter into the Holy of Holies. That is the most inner room of the tabernacle. The Holy of Holies is where God will meet with Moses or the high priest once a year and commune with him at the top of what's called the Ark of God and the mercy seat. So we have what? A high priest, the holiest position, the holiest person in Israel. He enters the Holy of Holies, which is the holiest place, and he does it on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which is the most holiest day in the calendar for the Jewish people. Why is it more holy than any other? Because on this day, we're going to take every ritual that God has proclaimed must be observed in the Old Testament, and we're going to all put it in one day. We're going to enact what God is really after on this Day of Atonement. So it is the holiest day where the high priest will take the blood of sacrifice. All of Israel gathers. All of Israel confesses their sins. And in this one offering, all those sins are going to be paid for the entire year. The year just completed, all those sins are now paid for. We're ready to move into a new year. God has forgiven us, has accepted us, has received us as his people. We are ready now to go forth to be his people, his demonstration of his grace, love, and mercy in the earth. So let's go through them again. The holiest person, the high priest, goes into the holiest place, the Holy of Holies, and there on the holiest day will make atonement. In other words, he's going to bring all the people of God to himself as one through sacrifice, blood sacrifice. And so they once again ratify the covenant they have with God. Now, you probably have picked up on the Hebrew word Yom Kippur. You can probably figure it out. Yom means day, and Kippur means to cover or to make atonement, to grant atonement. So you have Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Now, as I said, what's inside the box? What am I talking about? Well, the Ark of the Covenant is what's in the Holy of Holies. It's called many things. The Ark of God, it's called the Ark of the Testimony, or the Ark of the Covenant. This Ark is literally a box made of acacia wood. Acacia wood that could be found and can still be found today in the Middle East. It is a hardy wood, and yet, strangely, the paradox, even though it's very hardy, it can be easily torn apart. And yet it has ability to withstand a lot of different temperatures and weather, and it's a very interesting and hard kind of substance. And yet, as I say again, can be easily destroyed. So here you have a box made of acacia wood. God says, now I want you to line that box outside and inside with pure gold. Think about that. You're taking an old box of acacia wood, and now you're lining it with gold. And then God says, but that doesn't complete the box. It's going to be one piece of furniture, but it's going to be made up of two pieces. Number one, the Ark of the Covenant, the box. But we need a lid. And the Ark of the Covenant, then, is a lid placed on top called the mercy seat. The mercy seat is pure gold. And you have to have someone who's truly an artist who is able to take gold and beat it into what God says you are to design it. Remember what it was? Two angels called cherubim, and they are seated on top of the mercy seat, one on one side, the other on the other side. Their wings are reaching and touching, but their faces are looking down inside to the box. It's like the cherubim are saying, "What's inside the box?" And we're all curious, what is inside the box? So think about it. We have a wooden chest that is overlaid with gold inside and out. Then we have a mercy seat, that lid that literally goes on top, and it is absolutely pure gold. So this chest with the interesting word is kaporet. Kippur, Yom Kippur, kaporet is a word that means the atonement lid or the atonement cover. Think about the high priest going in once a year. Remember, he takes with him what? Blood. The blood of the sacrifice. He takes the blood and he'll sprinkle that blood onto the gold mercy seat. And if you do that a few years, once a year, that gold is going to start turning a little bit dull, isn't it? It's going to get a little dull because of the blood that continually is sprinkled onto the mercy seat. So what is the gold? Well, the gold, obviously to me, speaks of deity, speaks of God. Gold is always used to express who God is. He is so unique, so amazing. He is the true and the living God. And so he is king of the universe, and there's only one mineral of this earth that really tells us who God is, and that is gold. So it speaks of deity. Now think about everything I've said, and we're talking about the Jewish year, the Day of Atonement, but we are here today as believers in Jesus Christ. What is our Day of Atonement? What do we recognize in this feast of the Day of Atonement? And I'm going to read a passage from Romans chapter 3, and it will begin with a passage very familiar to you and me. Every believer who's ever come to the Lord asking for forgiveness of sins and to be born again and be accepted as a child of God now and forever, everybody knows this verse 23. I'll bet you can quote it with me. You want to try it? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory. That's it. You and me, we're in the same boat. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Ah, but this is where in your Bible you need to keep reading. Don't stop there. Let's look at verse 24. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in, and I'm just going to say it, our high priest, our sacrifice, Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over sins previously committed. That's your sin, my sin, previously committed. Verse 26, for the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Is that you today? Have you placed your faith in Jesus? Then God is the justifier of your life. He is just because He's paid for your sins through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and He justifies us now and forevermore as we continue to place our faith in Jesus Christ. The word there, by the way, in verse 25, did you notice the big word propitiation? That word in the Greek is literally a transliteration of the Hebrew word. What do you think that might be? Atonement lid. He is our atonement lid. Jesus is our atonement cover. The blood He took into the heavenlies was holy blood. Peter calls it precious blood. Blood that He applies to the mercy seat in heaven, where we then hear God say back to you, I am the one who is just and the justifier of your life, because you placed your trust and your faith in my Son Jesus, the sacrifice for sin. Jesus, our atonement cover. It makes sense, doesn't it, when you really think about it? And if you really think about it, then the gospel must be exactly what Jesus said it is. Good news! Have you ever seen the gospel as bad news? Well, you do it first because you realize you've sinned, and you realize you need a sacrifice, and you realize you need a lot more help and a lot more holiness than you can produce on your own. And God says, well, guess what? I've already produced that. Remember we talked about the song, one of my favorite hymns, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. There it is. There's the gospel right there. We just sang it before I preached it. It's there. That's the only thing. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? It's just sinking sand. It's quicksand. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't produce what God is looking for. He's looking for a people who will put their trust and their faith in the sacrifice of His Son, and in the life of His Son that continues to live on inside the people of God through the gift of His Holy Spirit, which He grants so freely to each and every one of us, so that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, I really want you to hear this morning, because sometimes we get this twisted up so badly about the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit bears witness with my mind, because my mind can't take all of this in, that God is so good, so kind, so merciful, that He has already provided the way for me to come to Him through the gift of His Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But boy, my heart can bear witness to that. My heart can say, oh yes, my heart is now one with the very Spirit of Christ within me, the very Spirit of God. I bear witness with His Spirit that I am a child of the living God. As you can see, I can talk a lot. So let's move quickly here. I asked the question, what's inside the box? Do you realize that in the Old Testament there was something inside that box that the lid hid from everyone? No one could go and look inside that box. How many remember the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? They looked inside the box, didn't they? And they paid for it. Anyone who looked inside that box would forfeit their life. It was too holy. Remember, we emphasize holiness. This is holiness. You can't look upon the holiness of God and live. We are too sinful. But what's inside the box? Number one, tablets of the law. The tablets that Moses broke because of the golden calf incident. God says we'll make two more tablets after Moses intercedes on the sins on behalf of the people who sinned. And God says, I will accept them back. I will reconcile them. We will make two more tablets. Those tablets were placed inside that wooden box, the ark box. Okay, the tablets of the law. What are we talking about? Well, remember what we opened up with in John's Gospel, chapter 1. Jesus is the one who is the life. In John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men and women, by the way, all people. Jesus is the life, and His life brings light into our existence, where we begin to see things clearly, begin to see things God's way, and begin to walk in God's way. I could put it like this, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, you know this passage very well. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you and I free from the law of sin and death. Can I live the Christian life? No way. The law of sin and death drags me down every time. Can I live the Christian life? Yes, in Jesus Christ, because there's a higher law than the law of sin and death. What is it? It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the law you and I depend on. His life, His light, His glory. As we read in the beginning, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. The law came through Moses. grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Okay, tablets of the law. We have the law of the Spirit of life within us. Number two, there was a pot of manna. Remember, the manna was that miracle bread that would be provided by God every day. And they'd go and gather as much as they need for the day. Remember, you could not, you had to eat everything you took that day. What happened if you tried to put it in your refrigerator for the next day? Are you ready? Oh, you said it. Oh, what a brave bunch you are. Yes, maggots. Who wants to eat that kind of spoiled food? Not I, said the duck. And not I, said the preacher. You see what I'm saying here? God provides us something better than the manna, and that is the living bread, Jesus himself. May I remind you in John 6:51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. How many of you always kind of stumbled on that one? The bread which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Can I give you a little Bible instruction, free? Whenever you see the word flesh in the Bible, you need to take off the H, remove it, and spell it backwards. And what do you spell? Self. So let's read it that way. The bread which I will give for the life of the world is my self. Isn't that what you and I have believed into? He gave himself. He loved me and gave himself up for me, Paul says in Galatians chapter 2. So we have living bread. It's much better than the manna. This bread you live forever. Remember what Jesus said in John 6? The fathers ate the manna and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Number three, what was in the box? Aaron's rod that budded. Aaron's rod, which proved that he had the right to rule, he had the authority to be high priest over the life of Israel. The holiest person, the most important person, the high priest, he had the right. And so he had a rod that God caused to bud. Great, great, beautiful buds. And so authority is what we're talking about. All right, what about Jesus? Jesus in John 15:16 said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." We are to produce, he's appointed us, every one of us, he's appointed us to bear fruit. Fruit for the glory of God, fruit that proves how much we are abiding in Jesus, the true vine. Our authority to live the Christian life comes from the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the life of Jesus within us. We have a right, we have an appointment to live this kind of life, where he receives all the glory and all the honor, and we bless his name forever. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore," or more literally, "as you are going, make disciples of all nations and teach them to observe everything that I've taught you, and I am with you always to the very end of the age." So three things are inside the box. We've just answered the question. What's inside the box? The tablets of the law. Better yet, we have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The pot of manna. We have the living bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, and whoever eats of this bread will never die. We have Aaron's rod that budded. We have the authority of Christ within us to bear fruit for the glory of God. So whatever we ask in his name, he will give it to us. The Father will. What's inside the box? You know what's inside the box? The man Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our High Priest, our sacrifice. He's the one that was inside the box. And so we can conclude with a couple of scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 3:16, where Paul writes to the church. Now, he's writing to some Jewish people in Corinth, but a lot of them are Gentiles. That's you and me, by the way. We're not Jewish, we're Gentiles. And he says to them, "Do you not know that you are a temple," or "the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells, lives, tabernacles, a sanctuary?" God has a sanctuary here this morning. It's made up of many members. And as we are being built together in rising up as a holy temple in the Lord, we sing and exalt Him and rejoice with praises evermore. We are this people who are the sanctuary of God in the earth. But a second one is found in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." And I think our brother read a passage, if I'm not mistaken, from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So here we are. Exactly what Paul is saying to the Corinthians, as he already said to the church at Ephesus, that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God, not from ourselves. Glory be to God for the power, authority places within us. May we exercise that power and authority in each of our lives. Hey, if you got your Bibles, I'm going to have you turn one more scripture. And this is found in 1 John chapter 5. Now remember I said the ark, this box, overlaid with gold. You might be asking a question, well, what in the world was that all about anyway? Well, wait a minute. Wasn't Jesus God in the flesh? But he was human too, wasn't he? A box always refers wood to humanity. That's the sign. Jesus was human. Jesus was also God. And so the box was lined with gold inside and out. He is the mercy seat. He is that box. He is all of that. But remember I said it's the Ark of the Testimony. And I want you to look at a passage with me, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. 1 John 5, verse 10. "The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is" where? "In his Son, Jesus." We have already received the Ark of the Covenant in our lives. His name is Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. So, as I conclude, there's a phrase that the Jewish people use. And I wonder sometimes, and they'll probably use it today, or sometime during their observance of Day of Atonement. But think about this. Has this happened to you already? They will make this statement to one another: "May you be signed and sealed in the book of life, in the name of the one who loved you and gave himself up for you. May you be signed and sealed in the book of life through your faith in the blood of the sacrifice of our Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony, Jesus Christ our Lord." God bless you, and God be with you.